T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Paul Dottino, the PDOT Report, brought to you by New York Community Bank, online at mynycb.com, by United Healthcare and their Oxford products, and by 2 by London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center and RE/MAX. Paul, how are you, sir?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. You know, it's funny. I think the weather's going to be real nice here in Jersey over the weekend, and they're talking about possible scattered showers in Tampa Bay. That doesn't make me very happy.
Mm. Well, because you're going to be in Tampa Bay.
And you're going to be on the sideline, right? Aren't you on the sideline during these games,
Paul? It'll be warm, though. But it'll be
showers. I'm on the sidelines for road games because some of the locations for the press box are not real good, and I feel as though I'm probably better off on the field. And Tampa's press box is actually behind get this, behind the end zone.
Wow. That's awful.
That's terrible. Well, you know what, Paul? Look, if you stand on the sidelines, the Giants win, you'll take one for the you'll be more than happy if you're wet.
Joe, all I got to say right now is that I hope I stay dry.
Yeah, of course.
Paul, your opinion on the reaction of Odell yesterday to his meeting with John Mara and what he said about that meeting and the touchdown celebration?
The reaction is simple. I think he should have showed a lot more remorse than he did, to simply apologize for the penalty and not the conduct is half an apology, at least as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, he felt he was going to say what he wanted to say. He did it. His words speak for themselves. And I think, you know, the Giants, from their angle on this, it'll be interesting to see what does in fact happen. They say they have settled this thing internally, and that if Odell or anybody does such a celebration that is out of bounds again, they have determined in-house a policy that they will use to deal with it. So from their perspective, I'm sure they hope they don't have to deal with it, but we will see if such player, any such player, should do something that's, again, out of bounds.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Is there anybody on his team that could sit down? Because to me, I think it's got to be a player. I think it's got to be somebody he respects, somebody along those lines. Is it anybody on his team that could sit down with this kid and try and get through to him, in your mind?
Well, he's had a really, really very close relationship with Brad Wing, who was, remember, with him at LSU, and
right,
they're
right.
Best of buddies.
Okay.
I mean, they're like family.
Right.
So Brad is certainly a guy who could sit him down and you know, try to impose, you know, certain values on him, perhaps. You would think Brandon Marshall, they become very, very friendly. In fact, they were friendly even before Brandon signed with the Giants. You'd like to think that he's in the receiver room, that he could have influence over the player. And besides that, I guess the only other thing you could always do is just say, go to one of the captains, or for that matter, Adam Henry, who's the wide receivers coach, who was the receivers coach at LSU when Beckham was with the Tigers. I mean, to me, those are your logical options. Outside of that, I don't know that there's necessarily anybody who would have a chemical connection, you know, that would be able to influence him.
We're talking to Paul Dottino. Looking back at this game against Philadelphia, the offense was certainly better. Even before they started putting points on the board, they were moving the ball better. Eli was getting rid of the football incredibly quick. I think the fastest of any quarterback over the weekend. Overall, your impressions on the improvements we saw from this offense on Sunday?
Well, think of it this way. He threw it 47 times, did not get sacked, and only took 4 quarterback hits against one of the most active, vicious defensive lines to apply pressure to a quarterback in the NFL. So you have to be impressed with the way the Giants handled it, both schematically as well as technically. But what did it turn out to do? Well, they lost the game. So, you know, that's not cool for them. But at the same time, they have to feel a whole lot better that they have found something schematically that will help the situation for them. And they also have to feel that physically, the guys certainly did scrap and fight and technically were better, even though they had a few penalties in there for sure. There's no doubt. And there were a couple in crunch time that really hurt them. But they have to feel like, hey, you know what? As an offensive line, if we were able to combine those two factors and hold the Eagles to four quarterback hits and no sacks? How could you not feel good about that?
Mm. The defense to me, they could not stop the run in this game, which was, to me, the most surprising element to this game, to be very honest with you, Paul. This is not a great running football team. Blunt and Smallwood and these guys. The other guy, what's his name? The guy Carson, the guy that ran for the touchdown, whatever his name was. What happened there? I mean, you know, the Giant defense giving up almost 200 yards rushing. What about that?
Yeah, actually, it's real simple, Joe. As I was watching the game and, you know, I'm logging plays and I'm saying, okay, look at this. They are running wild against the Giants blitz. And as you know, when you blitz and that running back gets through that initial hole, you now don't have a second line of defense because you've sent those extra defenders and they're left in the dust. Well, the Eagles did an outstanding job of finding the creases and then running against the Giants blitz and making a chunk of yards out of it. They also ran very, very well against the Giants sub package. Their nickel package was really, really having a lot of trouble. And either it was the Eagles coach, Peterson, or it was Wentz. I don't know who, but the Giants would be in that nickel package. They'd be in the sub, and you'd be out there watching, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, Eagles are running the ball? And boom, they'd grind out 8 yards. They'd grind out 10 yards. They'd grind out 6 yards. And it's like, wait a minute. I think they're onto something here. And that's what happened. They ran well against the blitz and they ran well against the sub package. You have to wonder how much of an impact B.J. Goodson not being there may have had. Look, I don't want to put too much on this kid, but he did have the 18 tackles against Dallas opening night. He clearly has a better grasp and a better foundation to stop the run than Kelvin Munson, the rookie undrafted free agent who's been forced into the lineup the last couple of weeks. I don't want to put it all on that, but I do think that Goodson, who is a thumper and a run stopper by trade, probably would have had something to say about that had he played in Philadelphia.
Well, all right, well, what's the update on him and the rest of the injuries?
Goodson practiced on a limited basis yesterday. They're getting ready to hit the practice field momentarily today. You know, he's got those sore shins. I saw him yesterday. He told me he feels very optimistic that he's going to be able to play in this one. Janoris Jenkins with his ankle, full go in practice. You saw him play in Philadelphia. But the Giants had a half a dozen guys who did not work yesterday. And the question becomes, how much was that precautionary and just kind of rehabbing and resting those guys? And how much of it was because those guys are really banged up? And that's where it gets a little tricky here. Vernon with the ankle, I think it was just rest. Vereen with a calf, I also think he was just rest. Thomas, I'm not so sure, will be available with a groin. Bobby Hart working back from an ankle injury, I'm still not real optimistic there. Darkwood's got a sore back. I do think that he's probably got a better chance to play. And Casillas with a sore ankle and a sore wrist, I would say I'm probably optimistic for him to play as well. But, you know, when you see this whole slew of guys who are not practicing, that does make you shake your head. We'll see if these guys are out on the field today.
If Darkwood plays, do you expect to see that role start to expand more? Maybe he gets more touches?
Well, he is more of a straight-ahead downhill runner. You know, he runs like a bigger power back. He doesn't have the body to support the style of play that he puts out on the field, but you certainly would be more apt to go to him. He does seem to in this first few weeks of the season, have a little bit more going for him in that run game. Again, though, coming off of a back thing, if he plays, how much can you force-feed him? You know, if they don't think he can get through the full game, if they think he's tweaked enough where he's going to be limited or maybe can't give them what they need, then you'll probably see Gallman activated. Mm. And, you know, again, I don't know how much he would play, but, you know, this becomes a numbers game.
Paul, huge game. I want to get your take here. Huge game, obviously. They haven't won. They got to get a win. Tampa's 1-1. They got beat up last week in Minnesota by the Vikings. Your prediction for this game?
Well, not only did they get beaten up by the Vikings, but Case Keenum ripped them for like 370 yards and three touchdowns.
Yep, yep. Case Keenum.
It was bombs away. And as you probably know this too, Joe, Vernon Hargraves, you know, who was much heralded coming out in the draft last year, and you know, a lot of people thought that the Giants should have taken him instead of Apple. Well, last year he led the NFL in giving up passing yardage and pass completions. I mean, are you kidding me? That secondary is just
well,
not
Stephon,
very good.
Stephon Diggs just had his way with their secondary last week.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yep.
They had four pass completions over 40
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, Case Keenum, too. Let me, again, let's point that wasn't even
exactly.
Sam Bradford.
So it's hard for me to believe, okay? And also, let's remember, too, Quan Alexander and Levante David, two of their starting linebackers with the Bucs, did not practice yesterday. David with a bad ankle. He's not going to play in the game. Alexander's nursing a hamstring. Doesn't look very promising for him. You have to feel that the Giants think they can go in there and win this one. And there's a number here that's very important, Joe. You guys all know that since 1990, there were only three NFL teams, you know, to start 0-3 and make the playoffs. Everybody knows that. The number's been quoted all over the place here in New York.
And none since they went to four divisions in each conference.
Okay, now here's a much, much more interesting number.
Go.
Okay, of teams that went 1-3 to start the season, 28 of them have made the playoffs.
Okay.
The number increases dramatically. It's amazing how the percentage just skyrockets if you get that first win. 1-3 is like all of a sudden, wow, that's over two dozen teams who have done it.
Right.
So, and the Jets did it twice, Joe.
Yeah, no, I know. So, I'm aware of that, know? Actually, yes.
So, let's not kid ourselves. If you thought last week was must win for the Giants, this one's a triple must win.
You keep losing. Yeah. It gets higher and higher. Yeah. You got to win.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Paul, great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, guys.
See you, Paul.
Paul DeTino on the Giants.
Jets have done a number. Actually, 1981, they started 0-3-1 and made the playoffs. It went 10-5-1. You know, I believe 0-2 when Pennington took over for Vinny. I think they were 1-4 that year and wound up going 9-7, winning the division that year in 2002. And I think there was another one. I think maybe the year that Coslett took them there in 91. They might have been 1-3 that year. They finished only 8-8 that year, but they still made the playoffs. So
it can happen.
It's happened to them a number of times.
You just don't want to continue to put yourself in a bigger, bigger hole.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.